Before there was ever a beast or a fish or a bird of the air, God looked down through his telescopic, prophetic telescope, and God saw that man was going to become a sinner. God saw that Adam and Eve were going to sin the Garden of Eden. And though God never chooses anybody to go to hell or anybody to go to heaven, God, by his foreknowledge, knew that man was going to sin. And God said, I've got to conceive a plan. And God's only son said, Father, you let me do it. I'll go to earth, and I'll become the Savior, and I'll pay the price. Ladies and gentlemen, that little salvation you're piddling around with, that little salvation you won't even come to church for, that little salvation you wear your shorts over, that little salvation you live in a half in, half off, half hot, half cold, milk and cider, pussy foot, nair tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nipping, soft soaping, pink tea lemonade Christianity. That salvation was forethought in the mind of Almighty God before the foundation was laid for the world. Jesus said, I'll go. Every part of the Bible, the Old Testament, pointed to the time when Jesus would come. God gave us this wonderful book. This book is nothing more than a series of flyers saying Jesus is going to come. It's a series of advertisements, full-page ads, saying Jesus is going to come. And God told us that he would come. In Genesis, he's called the promised seed. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the scapegoat. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent. Deuteronomy, he's the great lawgiver. Joshua, he's prophet, priest, and king. In Judges, he's the judge of all the universe. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the prophet, he's the anointer of kings. In Kings, he's king of kings and lord of lords. In Chronicles, he's the great historian. In Ezra, he's rebuilder of the temple. In Nehemiah, the rebuilder of the wall. In Esther, he's the savior of the Jews. In Job, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Psalms, he's the song of the ages. In Proverbs, he's the truth. Ecclesiastes, the great preacher. Song of Solomon, the wonderful lover. Isaiah, he's wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the rebuilder of the millennial temple. In Daniel, he's a stone cut out without hands that'll break in pieces the kingdoms of this world and establish a kingdom that'll cover the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. In Hosea, he's the spurned but forgiving lover. The minor prophets, he's the one coming in Bethlehem of Judah. Matthew, the king of kings. Mark, the suffering servant. Luke, the son of man. John, the son of God. In Acts, he's the power of the church. Romans, the dynamite of the gospel. In Corinthians, he's restored the carnal nature. Galatians, he's the rent veil. In Ephesians, he's the heavenly one. In Philippians, our sufficiency. In Colossians, the great shadow. Thessalonians, our coming king. In Timothy, our great appearing God. In Titus, our blessed hope. In Hebrews, he's best of all. In James, the fulfiller of the law. In Peter, he's the rock of ages cleft for me. In John, he's the assurance of my salvation. In Jude, the one who's able to keep me from falling and present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Revelation, he's the one saddled on a white horse coming back to earth to establish his kingdom on earth. You listen to me. God pity this generation of milk and cider Christian people. Don't you criticize that man. Oh, I tell you,